I guess what I'm saying is, because I've come across other actors on different sets and they don't, they're okay with some of this bad behavior. Like, mm-hmm. I was not okay with it. I was mm-hmm. very much like, this should not have happened. Mm-hmm. And the other actor should not have let himself get to that point where he is out of control.
Right.
Because we're actors. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to be playing fake, but making
it's
it look
not real.
Real,
people.
It's not real, people. Thank you. Yes.
Rediscover your passion and begin building a strong, vibrant, and happier life to get you from where you are to the life you were born to live. From Wall Street to Main Street, we bring it all right here inside of Energy Bar. Energy Bar. Feel the energy. I'm Dr. Faye, and we're hosting a very unique show today for our listeners. You guys are amazing, by the way. Thank you so much for all of the thumbs up, the likes, the comments across social media, and especially the shares. Thank you for your support. You mean so much to me and to the network that you embrace what we're doing here. This work that's in progress and booming and blasting across and around the world and across social media. So thank you. Today, I have a special, special treat for you guys. You know, we really do our homework and we look for the best voices to bring here to the network and to the Energy Bar, where we are here 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And then, of course, on Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am the 7-Eleven talk show host. And today, I have a special guest all the way from Hollywood or New York or Minnesota. He's all cram, and I can tell you guys we are going to have a really wonderful time today. So go ahead and share us now in social media. Tell people, tell your friends, your network to tune in now, because when starting his career, agents and managers didn't know what to do with Paul, a 98-pound wimp with a heart of gold. And you guys should see his website. It's cute. But casting directors such as Molly Thin began to see that when they called him to meet the directors, that he began booking those roles that call for an indefinable something. How would you like that in your resume? An indefinable something. Casting directors now call him a cross between Gollum and James Dean, which sounds strange, but it's working for Paul Cram here today. His film credits include Searchlights Wilson starring Woody Harrelson. Oh, Fox Searchlights Wilson starring Woody Harrelson. Peacock starring Cillian Murphy and Ellen Page, and hundreds more. He does audiobooks, and he is amazing. And I want you to help me welcome Paul Cram today. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Oh, thank you for such a wonderful invite. And I'm honored to be here chatting with you.
Oh, it is great. Well, I know you do some fun things out there. And you told me that you live in Minnesota. And I told you that that's a cold place. And it's always snowing there. Even
it
in
is,
the spring.
It is.
How many months in Minnesota do you actually have no snow? I won't ask about how many months you have snow. But.
Oh, gosh. You know, we are covered in snow from about like sometimes the end of October, beginning of November, all the way up until like we're going to get a little bit of snow here this weekend. So it can last all the way through the end of March. So we really soak in summer when it happens here.
I can only imagine, because I don't like traveling north at all in the wintertime. I've been there, done that. But Paul, you have a career in the acting arena, or you're moving it more into that space. But I want to talk to you a little bit about your history and how you got started, because we have listeners from every walk of life and all cultures and younger listeners who are aspiring actors and actresses and authors and just different people. So I wanted to get your story here so that others could know, regardless of where you come from, even if it's Minnesota,
that's a big part of like who I am and where I got my I'll jump back kind of to my roots, my beginning a little bit. I was about 16 when I went to my mom and I was like, Mom, I really want to be an actor. And my mom was the one who kind of encouraged me when I was younger, you know, just in school plays and things like that. She's like, be in plays, push yourself out there. It was really important to my mom that me and all of my siblings, I come from kind of a bigger family, that we were not,
How big?
There are seven of us. I'm one of seven.
Don't brag. I'm one of 13.
Oh, I love it. Well, then I will not brag. I am my small family. No, that's wonderful. Actually, my mother was one of 13 as well. So that's fantastic. I really enjoyed growing up in being one of seven. I'm right in the middle of it all. So I'm kind of the Jan Brady, I guess, if you would.
So am I. I'm in the middle.
I love it.
So what were some of the principles you were sharing before I interrupted you about?
So the big thing that was really great for me starting out was, like I mentioned, my mom and my family have always been really supportive. My mom she never took the tact of like, oh, don't do that. She was always like, well, try it, but how are you going to make it work? And how are you going to do that? Like, think this through, like walk me through some of the steps. So I literally did what I was taught to do, by my mom and dad, which was, I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know anybody in the industry. So I went to the library and I checked out, I'm not kidding, the stack of books was probably taller than I am. And I got every book I could possibly get my hands on that had anything remotely to do with the entertainment industry, acting, agents, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I was reading, how-to books, but I also got fiction and novels, and I read just everything that I could get my hands on about the industry and how it worked. And from there, I began kind of trying to get my feet wet here in the Minneapolis market, which is, I think most people that live in the States will know this, but Minneapolis is it's not Chicago, it's not New York, it's not Los Angeles. It's a much smaller city in regards to the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. We do have some wonderful things. I don't mean to knock it. It's just a smaller city that has some wonderful theater, like the Guthrie Theater is here. And so I started to send out my stuff and try to get my feet wet. And it's interesting. I've worked on a ton of, smaller, low budget projects starting out, especially I worked with like college students that were trying to make, go to film school and things like that. So over the course of time, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm so happy that my mom and my family and stuff were smart enough to be like, how are you going to do this? And started to make me think that way. And actually, not just jump in blindly, but really to get some information.
Yeah, they were concerned that you had starved to death.
Yes.
The question was really, how are you going to feed yourself? Will that pay you any money?
And that kind of like, is so
when
true.
When I started radio and television, and I remember people asking me questions like, okay, so how do you make money with that?
And I still get that question a lot. And it's a very, especially in Minnesota, it's a good question to ask people, because there's a lot of work. And I'll be as transparent as I can. I do not work full time as an actor in Minneapolis. There's not enough work for that to happen. I would need to live in a New York or in an LA for that to happen. But I work very regularly, and I'm so blessed. I am so fortunate, and I'm so excited because I, as an actor, am able to. I have worked in Hollywood, and I've worked on the East Coast and the West Coast, and pretty much almost. You know where one place I have not worked yet is Arkansas. I need to go to Arkansas and work. But I've worked in many different states shooting films and low budget indie movies. And more recently actually is when I've started to kind of get into, you know, I was cast in Fox Searchlight's Wilson with Woody Harrelson. And I don't know. There's this ladder of work that I've started to climb, and it's nice to see that some of the bigger projects like that are casting me. It's great.
That is great. But what that says is that you didn't give up caving and quit. You continued to pursue it. And even though everybody goes through obstacles and have opposition to your dream and your vision, your mission in life, but you knew what you wanted to do. And that is extremely important. And you, there were people who believed in you. Family finally got on board and realized that you were going to starve to death. After all, you're 98 pounds. It wouldn't take but a couple of days of not having food, Paul, before you're just out of the race, you know? So they were really concerned, and rightfully so.
And it's interesting that you say that because it's really interesting you say that because in addition to, I don't mean to paint this as a cakewalk, like when I first started approaching agents in town, you know, I didn't start by approaching agents. I started by doing like some community theater and, you know, and different things like that, really getting some bigger credits, I guess, something for my resume. And then I started to approach agents, and it was really challenging for me, being the gawky, nerdy, very skinny, almost 6 foot tall, skinny geek guy. And it was challenging for me to go in and have, agents be, look at me and be like laughing and be like, you're like, we don't know what to do with you. Can you put on muscle? Can you actually gain weight? Like, are you anorexic? You know, and I wasn't. I was like, this is me. Like, what? You know, and now, you know, fast forward, and I'm much more comfortable in my skin. Thank God that we get through puberty and all that awkwardness and grow up. But at the time it was challenging. It was hard. And it did go back to some of the support of, you know, good people like my family and parents and not at some point I there was just a mental shift that happened. And I want to credit Mally Finn, who you had mentioned earlier. She's a casting director. She has since passed away. But she, at the point when she had, she actually contacted me. It's a little bit of a story. You know who Eminem is, I'm assuming, that rapper. Yes. Eminem. He did a movie a while back called 8 Mile, and Mally Finn, she cast that movie, and she did like this nationwide big search. Like she basically traveled the nation looking for actors for this film. And I was so green. I was so new. I just was like, well, I could do that, you know? And I sent her my photo and I never heard anything. I didn't hear anything back. But fast forward like 6 months later after I had sent her my picture, and she, you know, I get this phone call randomly, and it was, you know, I didn't recognize the number. And I answer the phone and it's like, hi, this is Mally Finn's assistant. Is this Paul Cram? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, well, you know, do you have a moment? Mally would like to speak with you. And I was like, I almost fell over. I was like, and for context, Mally Finn cast the Titanic. Mally Finn cast all of the Matrix trilogy movies, and she cast LA Confidential, and she cast, you know, 8 Mile. Mally Finn was the top casting director in the field at that point in time. And she wanted to talk to me. She got on the phone and she's like, hey, I kept your picture from when you sent it to me. And she's like, you know what? She's like, I feel like there's something here. And would you be willing to record yourself, you know, do the self-tape audition for this movie with Val Kilmer and Drew Barrymore? And I was like, well, yeah, of course, you know. And it was interesting because I, you know, put the tape together and I sent it to her, and she was like, you know what? They went a different direction, but she's like, there's, I don't know what it is, but there's something interesting there about you. Yeah. And I found myself in California, in Los Angeles, on a family trip, a family vacation. And she had mentioned to me, she's like, if you're ever out here, you know, just drop me a line. I'd like to actually sit down with you. Which again, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the top. So I was out there, I called her, and she was like, yeah, come on in, I have some time this evening. And I went into her office, and, you know, and she was just this lovely woman. She was so kind to me. And she was like, Paul, she's like, I just want to tell you, she's like, you're not everybody else, and you never will be. And she's like, you're not going to be auditioning for, you know, she's like, I have roles where, you know, there's 500 people that come through my office for this part. She's like, that's never going to be you. And I was like, I was like about to cry. I was like, oh my gosh, this is hard to hear. But she was like, but the parts you just don't fit for a lot. And she's like, but what the things that you do fit for, she's like, it's going to be amazing. Like, it's amazing. And having her, this person in the industry that is so, doesn't need to blow smoke. You know what I mean?
Right.
She doesn't need to do that. If I was, I do think this, like, I'm like, if I had no talent or if she didn't see anything, I just have a hard time thinking she'd waste her time. Cause why do that?
To share that information with you that became a landmark in your life.
Yes, exactly.
You are sitting with the person who obviously knows talent. And yeah. The Matrix is like is the favorite movie of my life. I mean, it's just a favorite. So,
And it's me too. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I have so much respect for the work that she was doing. And like you said, I'm actually going to riff on that a little bit too. I mean, that's kind of what I've been doing, but like she even told me, she's like, Paul, she's like, if you would like some advice, she's like, I really wouldn't recommend that you move here to LA right now. She's like, I know that there's wonderful theater in Minnesota. She's like, the Guthrie Theater, they're like renowned around the world. Like, go work there for a little bit and maybe jump, you know, look at Chicago. And she's, it was just interesting to me because of her feedback. I actually took her advice and I did it. I've worked at the Guthrie and I've, you know, nosed around Chicago and stuff. And it's been really beneficial for me as an actor and as a person. And, I guess what I want to communicate to you and to everybody listening is that, like, her doing that, her taking a moment out of her day and her being who she was, I know that she was able to look at me and be like, oh, I just know that she was able to look at me and be, and to pinpoint what was happening to me at that point in time with agents. There's no doubt in my mind that she was like, oh, I bet I know what's happening to him with these agents that are like, you know, you need to become something different. It was so refreshing for her to be like, no, you be you, you, this 98-pound wimp thing that you've got. That's special. And
that's so special. And that's what, again, a defining moment, and it launched you into, you know, seeing the bigger picture. And we got to take a pause here, Paul, and we're going to be back with more of this conversation, because I want to know the next steps that you took from that moment of meeting with the great caster herself and having her to deposit those words into your soul. And what that did for you and the next steps that you decided to take in following her advice. And that's important that we all have mentors or coaches. I do life coaching and I do speaking around the country. And we all need someone that will connect with us at that deep level. I'll be back with more from this 98-pound wimp here on the Energy Bar. He's not a wimp, though. He's not a wimp.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, if you've been listening to Paul Cram here in our first segment, you notice that he is a very high energy, very passionate man. And he has taken us through his early years of being having this desire to be in the acting field, and how he was able to meet with Mally Finn, who took him aside, met with him, and spoke to him about where he would and would not fit. A matter of fact, Paul, I think she saved you a lot of time, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. And I think she saved me a lot of, is heartache the right word? I think heartache. Yeah, a lot of time, a bit of heartache, just not trying to be something I'm not.
And so many people waste a lot of time trying to fit into someone else's mold or idea.
Yes.
And yes. Society as a whole will like to pigeonhole us or make us fit a certain model. And when we don't, people think that we're weird or we're strange because we don't look like them. We don't, you know, act like them. But yet God has a specific purpose for us being the way we are. Our own individuality is our greatest light. Oh, that's a profound statement, Paul. It just came out of me. Our own individuality is our greatest light.
I love it.
Isn't that beautiful?
It. Wow. It's beautiful.
I have my moments.
No, it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And it hits the nail on the head for I have so much appreciation for what Mally did, and I can see that in other people's lives as well. You know, it's so wonderful when like you were talking about mentors and things like that, and when people can speak life into other people's lives. I mean, I'm so inspired by that. It's just beautiful. So I'm so appreciative to Mally for kind of pulling me aside and. And some of the feedback she went in the moment, it was a little bit like, ouch, just hearing that. It's like, you know, you're not going to be Tom Cruise. Like, and it's like, well, okay, that's probably fair.
It's time to pack up and go home. And when you're in that space and you're thinking, oh, wow, this is a blow to my ego. And at the same time, she turned around and validated your individuality, that it's okay for you to be you, because trying to be other people, why? I mean, really, they've already been. That's old news. And the world is looking for something fresh, fresh talent, creativity, ingenuity, someone who would allow their brilliance to come forth, their genius to manifest. And that's what you were doing. So after you had this meeting with Mally, what happened next in your life?
Well, I attribute that meeting to being a huge stepping stone for me mentally. Because after that meeting, you know, she, like I had mentioned, she's like, you know, get yourself out there, go utilize the resources in Minneapolis and in the Midwest there to your advantage. I have to say the biggest thing that it did for me was a mental shift. You know, there's that saying that we are our own worst enemies. And it's so true, because that simple, her simple kind of validation, but also a little bit of guidance. Like, I came back to Minneapolis and it was like the blinders were taken off, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I see where I fit in this industry. And I see also, I didn't just focus on Minneapolis because I was like, in my head, I was like, wait a second. If the very top casting director in the industry right now says that I am worth something, like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, well, there must be more. And so I actually started reaching out to and really trying to pay attention to, you know, casting directors here in Minneapolis, but then also, you know, in a broader sense of the word. And I was like, Mally, her feedback just opened up my eyes. I was like, there's so many casting directors out there. And I started to audition more. And I really got myself in front of more casting directors and more, for more parts and things like that. And I really found myself, when I would go into like auditions and for different roles and things like that, like the comments that would be thrown at me really started to wash off my back like water. Like I was like, yeah, that's fine. You can say that. Like it used to bother me. And then again, having Mally's feedback and just having that kind of validation, I just really became much more resilient.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to pat myself on the back. Go ahead. I guess what I'm trying to share is resilience is such a great thing to have in one's life because in acting, it's so hard. It's so challenging to walk into a room and have people be looking at you. And I remember there was this one casting director who he looked at me and he was just like, he's like, oh, and it was this audition for this commercial and it was for a water park or something like that. So they had you in a pair of shorts. And so I was shirtless. And as I was leaving, he turns to everybody and he's like, whoa, Paul is really this big chestnut face. Like, and I was like, I don't even know what chestnut face is. What does that mean? And so I had to look it up. And it means somebody that has a really ugly face, but a very nice body. And I laugh at that because I'm just like, what a terrible thing to,
know, right?
to say. But then the flip of it is it's like, oh, I'm going to take that. And guess what? I'm going to use this and to my advantage. And in consecutive auditions and things like that, it's like, oh, you want me to audition for the weird gawky nerd guy? Great. I'm perfect for this. Like taking who I am, the quote unquote product, because you know, that's what an actor technically is, and just running with it. And I'm not offended. Like I think there was a point where I was, and then now it's just like, yeah, but that's not technically me. That's not Paul Cram, the soul of who I am. Like, Paul, the product, sure, you can like it or not. That's okay. And you know, move on. Right. So I got, after kind of meeting with Mally and stuff, I really started booking roles a ton. Like I started booking like indie movies. I went down to Iowa. And I was in this movie where they had me playing this really edgy guy who was involved in like the drug trafficking scene. And I found myself in these roles where it's like, yeah, we're taking that sort of gawkiness that is me, but we're also putting some spins and twists on it where it's, I have had so much fun as an actor, the parts that I have played. I actually pity some of the actors that are the quote unquote Tom Cruises, because I'm like, the parts that I'm playing are so wildly diverse and weird and interesting and fun. And I don't know, I will say this, I get cast a lot in roles where like I die because they're these dramatic, like over the top sometimes. And I don't know if there, I don't think I've ever met an actor that does not like a really dramatic death scene, like Shakespearean, like you know, that kind of stuff. So I feel like I've had the time of my life in acting, and part of it is again because of like I don't fit this typical stereotypical mold. So I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of meandering around, but
I think you know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, just following the golden thread here, that Mally allowed you an opportunity to go deeper into your own identity. And yes,
that's a wonderful way to put it.
In doing so, you gave birth to the true self of yourself. So it didn't matter what other people thought about the product or whatever, because you were being true to yourself. Whereas there may be other actors who are becoming what they need to become for other people just to fit in.
Absolutely.
And what she was saying is, dude, don't fit in. Just be you, because the world needs you to be you. And that's what the world needs from each of us, is just to be true to ourselves. And you mentioned Shakespeare. Was it Shakespeare that said, to thine own self be true?
Yes. I believe so. I could be totally wrong, but yes, I believe so.
Yeah, sounds Shakespearean. But to thine own self be true, then thou therefore cannot be false to any man. So when we live from that place, whether it's being an actor or singer or dancer or a teacher, an attorney or a doctor, whatever it is, you will find your life's mission, your life's work, by being true to you. And many people today, Paul, are looking for their destiny, their mission, their life's work, and they don't get there because they're still trying to fit in. And they take the advice that Mally gave you. And as we're sharing that today and sharing it with potential millions of people around the world who will have access to this broadcast, to say, live from your authentic self, live from your true identity. That is where your life's mission is. That's where your destiny is. And you mentioned, Paul, which is where, when you find your life's work, you will have fun. And I believe if it's not fun, we should not be doing it. Why spend 8 hours a day doing something that makes you miserable?
Right. Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree.
And I agree. People have to work, you know, they have to eat, they have to pay bills and say, well, I don't like my job. But if you shift that to say, you know what, this is not my life's mission, but it's my temporary step to my destiny, to my purpose.
Agree with you on that, because I, as an actor too, like, and as an artist, as most other artists in any field, you know, acting, the visual arts, you know, painting, whatever, to that end, you don't always make a ton of money. You know, there's been times when I'm doing work that has nothing to do with acting, you know, to make money, to make a living, to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And do I love it? No, but I do it because of, you know, I want to be an actor, and I do it because, you know, for whatever reason, I have so much respect too for people that will do a job that will, support their family. You know what I mean? And that's their life's mission. That's their, I don't know. There's so many reasons to do a job that are so noble, and it's so awesome. And I love it.
Because each of us, I mean, starting out, you do things that are not very pleasing. I mean, you know, I used to serve pizza, a lot of things that I've done, and I'm a great waitress, by the way. I am a great waitress. Please do not send me applications. I don't want a job.
Sorry, I'm cutting you off, but I was just gonna say, like, that it's a cliched stereotype that actors are waiters too, and that is actually one job I've technically never had. I have never been a waiter, but I cut you off. What were you saying? You were saying the waitress.
See, what it taught me though is service, you know, and always giving your best, because and let me tell you something. As a waitress, this is what I learned as a waitress, is that the more I smile, the nicer I am, the more attentive I was to people, the bigger my tip was usually. But this is that's true though. This is the other thing I learned, is that regardless of if I was just doing it for the tip, it just became part of who I am anyway. And I just became happy about doing it. I mean, there were certain people who came in. I'm like, oh, hello, Mr. Smith. It's good to see you again. You know, and became so good at it, they offered me a management job there. And I went, oh, no, this is just for now. This is not my life's work. making pizza is not my life's work. But we do what we need to do. But if we do it from a place of gratitude, you know, and have a mindset that, you know what, I'm going to serve anyway. We're all here for some level of service, and it's not demeaning. It's not something that we should not have joy in doing. But not every task is a happy task. And we just do it because we have an ultimate goal. And so you weren't a waiter, but you have done some other work. And you're doing some other work, like right now you're doing voiceover, which is still along the line of acting when I think about it.
Oh, it totally is. It is. It's just it's a slightly different field. You know, it's acting, but it's a very different beast, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like comparing apples and oranges. They're not quite the same thing, but they're both fruit.
Yeah, they work. They can work together. So yep. you're doing that, and you've gone through you've worked with several directors and producers. What are some of your greatest memories in working so far? Because you have so much more life to live and so many more parts to play and things.
Yeah, so much more to do.
Yeah.
I have a lot of, there's been a lot of really fun projects that I've worked on. And I get asked this question often, you know, what's the best one? And, There's so many stories from each set.
Give me one before we go to break. Give me one good story.
Oh gosh. There's some really bad stories, and by bad I mean like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened.
Oh, I want to hear those.
Well, and some of those stand out because of them being bad, and you know, there's all these projects like Wilson, when I worked with Woody Harrelson. Mm-hmm. He was the most charming, down to earth, beautiful person to interact with. Mm-hmm. And that's he and I, just working with him, I was like, wow, he's such a good man, like just great, great energy. So there's not like this huge story to tell there, but I have these other stories. Like, I have done a fair amount of, I'm sure you've heard that saying, like, I do my own stunts, and like, that's like a, like some actors really like that. Mm-hmm. I have worked with some actors that, there's this one specific project I worked on in Iowa. And the actor, if anybody listening is familiar with, there's an acting method, and it's called being a method actor. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of popular in some circles of acting. And it's very much where you kind of live, you try to like live as the character that you're playing. Mm-hmm. And for myself, I don't totally get that, because in my, how I approach acting, like I don't necessarily need to live as a mental patient if I'm playing one in a movie. I just think that I can use my imagination. Okay. So it's interesting. So anyway, in this actor, he had told me before we started filming, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm a method actor. I really like, just, you know, if you're ever talking to me, like talk to me as if I'm the character. And I was looking at him and I was just like, okay, this is going to be interesting. Because he was playing this really intense part. And mm-hmm. So what happened was he and I have a scene together where it's like a choreographed fight where, you know, he comes in and we have, you know, the staged choreographed fight, which on screen is supposed to look real, but in real life, it's, you know, nobody's supposed to get hurt. And so we practiced it several times with the stunt coordinator, and, you know, it's kind of almost like practicing a dance is what how I think of it. And it went great. It was totally wonderful through the rehearsals. But when the director called action, I could see it in the other actor's eyes. Like he changed. He went to this mental space where it was like, oh, and in my head, I was like, oh no, I'm not working with the actor now. Now he's gone to this place where he's doing everything quote unquote real, and he's mm-hmm. not going to listen, and he's not going to. So I actually got beat up by this actor for real, and I was trying to stop it, and everybody thought it was just acting. And that was just terrible that happened. And that actor, like afterwards, like he was like, oh, I'm sorry I did that. And I was like, that doesn't cut it for me. Like get away from me. Like, I'm not going to interact with you anymore. Like, this is beyond, like, it's like, what just happened? Like,
oh, wow.
So yeah, that was just crazy.
That's bizarre. That's bizarre. But I want us to pick up on that, because going into character and becoming the character are kind of two different things. And
yes.
I really want to talk about that, because that's really scary, you know. So, Lord, but we've got to take a break. You guys stay in character as listeners. And we'll be right back with Paul Cram. And what a delightful personality to be with us here today on the Energy Bar. Back in a moment.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Being in character and being the character are two different things. And Paul was telling us about one of his encounters with an actor, and he could tell that there was a shift in this guy and that he had really become that character. And as a result, Paul was battered.
In
performance.
That's terrible.
Battered performance. And
yes.
So,
yes.
And everybody else, you know, in the studio think that this is just part of the acting, and you are actually getting, you know, beaten.
Yes. I was actually getting actually punched in the face. And it was in retrospect, and it's interesting, because in retrospect, I screamed stop. But what I should have screamed was I should have said the director's name. I should have actually, you know what I'm saying? Like I should have, and I don't mean to make this sound like it went on forever and ever and ever. I think in the moment, it felt like a long time.
But it did seem like forever.
In the moment, it felt like forever. But while in reality, it was probably 15 to 20 seconds of a choreographed thing that was happening that just went bad. Mm-hmm. But it was it's interesting to me, because that's a topic that I have since then. I've taught some like just community ed classes, like for like high schools and stuff like that, where I've gone in and chatted with students that want to become actors, and it's a topic, and I do share the story quite a bit, because I'm like you as an actor need to protect yourself a bit in your career, and when things like this happen, you need to stop them and not, I guess what I'm saying is, cause I've come across other actors on different sets, and they don't, they're okay with some of this bad behavior. Like I was not okay with it. I was very much like, this should not have happened. Mm-hmm. And the other actor should not have let himself get to that point where he is out of control.
Right.
Because we're actors. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to be playing fake, but making
it's
it look
not real.
Real,
people.
It's not real, people. Thank you. Yes. And I think that's my issue with actors that are misunderstanding what the quote unquote method acting, what that actually means. I think that there's a lot of misinformation, you know, because I myself didn't understand sometimes when I would hear like people are like, oh, they're a method actor. They live as that character. I think that there's a danger in doing that. And
Do
I think that there's...
Oh, please go ahead.
No, since then I've done a little bit of research into the method acting.
Tell us about that.
Well, and I looked into it because I was like, why is this so popular and why are people doing this? I've got a black eye. Like, what the heck is happening? You know?
Right.
And I looked into it and I was like, oh, it's people taking something and they're twisting it, because the method, at least from what I was gathering, it has nothing to do with like living outside of each take. You know, it has nothing to do with becoming that character in your real life. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with becoming that character in the moment, but not, that character doesn't take over your body. It's not like, and it seems like people, at least like that other actor, it's like, it was almost like he was letting the person, this character, possess him or something. It's like, that's not
what
he did. Yeah,
that's what it sounds like. And he's beating you up, and he is not in character. He is totally
He's totally basically just, it's silly.
He's
it's
possessed. It's really
silly. He's possessed, yes.
No, possessed. You're not supposed to be really beating me. Help!
You're not supposed to, help me. And I do chuckle with it now, but even the people on set, they came up to me after that happened and they were like, oh my gosh, we thought you guys were so amazing. But we didn't realize.
That was really good. Fake. You really got beat up. You really have a good fake black eye.
But to me, that's not good acting.
No.
Because if somebody actually gets hurt, that's actually, you're a really bad actor. Yeah. Because you are not able to be, if you really have to beat somebody up to make it look real, that's really bad acting. Like that's not good acting. So, but looking into the method and that form of acting, I was really shocked a little bit to discover that, used incorrectly, mm-hmm. this sort of kind of living as the character, it can be something where there's been directors and stuff who have tried to push their actors to really live as these characters, mm-hmm. and it can be things that if you utilize that, it can be really damaging. Meaning. Like if a director, I've had a director do this where they have heard of some privileged information about my past, meaning mm-hmm. things that have happened to me within my family or things like that. Mm-hmm. And there's this one director in particular who he had heard about, I'm trying to be vague. Maybe I don't need to be vague. Like I have lost a brother, which is really unfortunate, and it's mm-hmm. and it's very hard in life to lose a sibling. It's like it's a psychological thing. Yeah, yeah. And if you know what that is, I feel for you too. It's
yeah,
it's a deep thing.
And a brother and a sister. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. I'm really mm-hmm. sorry to hear it. It's so a director learned this about me. And it wasn't necessarily something that I was trying to hide per se, but it's not something that I necessarily need to, I guess it's in my professional life, it's not something that I necessarily need to put on display for,
sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah. And this director had heard about it, and my character in one of the film I was working on, it dealt with some interactions between siblings and stuff, and he tried to pull that in and tried to use, and I was like, no, I'm not okay. Like, that's, at that point you are pulling in Paul Cram's personal life, and that's mm-hmm. not true to this character that I'm trying to play. Mm-hmm. This character that I'm playing is, yes, can I borrow from my experiences? Sure. But I want to be the one choosing that. I don't want it to be this thing that it's being manipulated and being pulled in and being, mm-hmm. it's like they're, it's almost, it's just, it's a very psychologically damaging thing to do to another human being, I guess.
Right.
And that's what surprised me about what I saw when I started to look into it was method actors and directors. There was actually a director that was being sued by an actress because she was like, there is trauma that happened to me because you were manipulating me with like some past hurts that I have not actually healed from. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, this is ringing true. And so I guess I'm kind of going down this rabbit trail that I didn't necessarily think that I would, but it's interesting because I do want to say to people listening, if you're an actor, be cautious with how you utilize your personal life, mm-hmm. because if you haven't dealt with traumas of your own past, mm-hmm. And you try to use them in acting, it can be really traumatizing to yourself because it can really bring up a lot. It's like, yeah. I think that acting is wonderful. It's wonderfully therapeutic, mm-hmm. but acting is not therapy. Do not use acting as a way to work through your issues. Like, go to a therapist or something. I'm a huge fan of you know, going and if you're having a hard time, like go to a professional and help them, have them work through it. But don't take all of your past things and bring them into your acting if you haven't dealt with them. It's like ripping, for myself, it was like when that director was trying to do that, it was like, oh my gosh, you're ripping like the scab off of a wound that hasn't healed yet. Like I'm not ready to go there, and especially not ready for the world to see this wound. Like, no.
Right. Well, you know, that I'm glad you brought that out, and that's what we do. We're very transparent here on the Energy Bar, Paul, because that's what helps people to identify, you know, because they have real emotions, real lives, everyday lives, and they're trying to put the pieces together. So there are people who will listen to this, whether your goal in life is to be an actor or to be whatever it is to be. At the end of the day, Paul, we are all playing a role in this world. We all have a part to play. And we have to be true to ourselves. Again, back to what Mally Finn spoke to you. We have to be true to ourselves and not try to fit in to the culture or society or what other people's expectations of us may be. But I think the greatest takeaway here today in our last minute or couple minutes or so is that people will be true to themselves, find out who you really are, and live in that place, even when someone appears to be giving you a great opportunity in life. Like, Paul, you were in this great opportunity, or you could just compromise who you are and act this thing out because you've had hurt and they want to bring that in to the room. But you stood up and you said, no, we have to stand up and say, no, will not allow you to cause me to compromise my own standards. And I'm going to, and you have to, you mentioned the word, one of my favorite words is resiliency. And know that regardless of what, how many no's you get or people that don't appreciate who you are, there are many more who will appreciate your staying true to your course. Paul, any final words, and then let people know how they can get in touch with you over the next minute.
Yes. I'm going to piggyback on that word resiliency. My father told me something once and it stuck with me within the acting world. He was like, Paul, if you are not being told no and having the door shut in your face for work, you're not working hard enough. You're not pushing yourself out there enough. And that has stuck with me. And it's something I think hopefully other people can benefit from as well, is if you're not being turned down and if you're not being rejected, you're not pushing yourself hard enough as far as work goes. And I think there's work for everybody. So keep pushing on that. And people can find me. Actually, it's pretty simple. They just go to my website, which is paulcramactor.com. And from there, they can jump into, you know, social media and movies and audiobooks, and they can find pretty much everything that they would need to right from there.
There you have it. Paul Cram from Minnesota, an actor and obviously an entertainer. He's been such a blessing here with us today. Thank you, Paul Cram, for stopping by and being a part of the Energy Bar.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. We'll have to have you back to see what else you're up to out there in Hollywood or New York or Minnesota, wherever you may be. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been great being with you today here on the Energy Bar. Don't forget to like us, share us, comment, be nice to us across social media, promote the show, download the app, iTunes for iTunes is Android, or your app, your iPhone, download it, carry us in your hand, listen to us via Bluetooth in your car. You'll enjoy it. It will inspire you, motivate, encourage you. This is Dr. Faye. Thank you so much for being a part of another Energy Bar. It's been a blessing being with you, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Kisses and hugs, everybody. Bye-bye now.